This junior opening prayer be led by myself, and our speaker this morning be our brother Gilbert Baldwin. His sermon is titled, Can You Run With Horses? Can You Run With Horses? That ought to be good. Scripture reading for this morning's sermon take place from the Old Testament book of Jeremiah chapter 12 in verses 1 through 5. And our scripture reader this morning is our brother Greg Newton. Presiding at the Lord's table is brother Charles Hopkins Jr., brother Jerry White. And our closing prayer will be led by brother Vince Shimatero. So first song this morning, 110, 110. 110 be our first song this morning. And before we sing that hymn, would you bow with me for a word of prayer? Our Father God in heaven, our Lord, we so humbly bow before your mighty throne. Our Father, we're just so thankful, Lord, that you've blessed each and every one that's here, Lord, with another day of life, Father, and the health and the strength and the mental wherewithal, Lord, that we can rise up out of our beds on the first day of the new week, Father. We can openly assemble together and worship thee in spirit and in truth here this morning, Lord. Our Father, we just pray that all of our acts of worship unto thee would be conducted decent and in order, Father, and that all might be most pleasing and acceptable unto thee, Lord. We ask these things, Father, in the name of thy Son, Christ Jesus. Amen.
One church. 110. You will sing all three verses of this hymn. 110. Heavenly Father, we appreciate you. Heavenly Father, we appreciate you. We love you, adore you, we bow down before you, Heavenly Father, we appreciate you. Son of God, what a wonder you are. Son of
How long
Would you bow with me in prayer? Our Father God in heaven, our Lord, we so humbly bow before thy mighty throne, Father. Lord, we're just so thankful, Father, that you've blessed each and every one of us here, Lord, with another day of life, Father, another opportunity, Father, on the first day of the week, Lord, that we can openly assemble together, Father, brothers and sisters. We can greet one another, Father, that we can study another portion of thy word together, Father. We can commune together. We can sing songs of praises and adoration unto thee, Lord. Our Father, we're thankful for our family here at Cross Street, Father. We're thankful for our elders, Father, our deacon, Lord, all those that help to teach your word, Father, and perform the work of the body here, Lord. We just ask, Father, that you continue to bless our congregation, bless our family here at Cross Street, Father, and that we all might be strengthened and grow together, Father, and that we can ultimately become better, stronger servants unto thee, Father. Our Lord, we ask at this time, Father, that you bless our brother Baldwin as he's going to stand before us and bring a portion of thy word unto us, Father. We pray, Lord, that you'd bless him with a good remembrance of those things that he's prepared to deliver, Father, and that you might bless each and every one of us with a receptive heart, Father, that these words can pierce our hearts, Father, and ultimately help to strengthen us, increase our knowledge in thee, and ultimately become better, stronger servants unto thee, Father. Our Lord, we're so mindful, Father, of all those that were mentioned as being sick, Father. There are too many to name at this moment, Father, but we know, Lord, that you know each and every one of them, Father. You know how they stand in need, Lord. And we just ask, Father, that you'd wrap your arms around each and every one of them, Father, that you'd comfort them, Father, bless them, bless those that caretake and render care unto them, Father, and that ultimately, if it be your will, Lord, that you might bless them with the things that they need to be restored to a normal portion of health and strength, Father. Our Lord, we're also so mindful and thankful, Father, for all the many, many blessings of life that you so richly bestowed upon each and every one of us, Father. Lord, we're too numerous to even count and contemplate, Father. We know that all your blessings is like trying to count grains of sand along the shore, Father, but we know that all these things come from thee, Lord, and we're so thankful unto thee for these blessings, Father. Our Lord, we're also most thankful, Father, for your grace and love, the grace and love that sent your Son down upon this earth, Father, to live the perfect life that he did, to set the example and the teachings that he did, Father, and ultimately his willingness to go to the cross for us and become that perfect Lamb of God, Father, the Lamb that was without spot or blemish, Father, the shedding of his blood, Lord, the blood which cleanses us from all unrighteousness if we obey thy gospel and remain faithful unto thee, Father. And Lord, we're just so thankful for Christ Jesus, Father, thankful for what his sacrifice enables us, Father, that chance to spend an eternity with thee in the kingdom of heaven, Father, if we obey thy gospel and remain faithful to it. And we just pray, Lord, that the actions that we do in life will always be a reflection of our thankfulness for Christ. And Lord, as we continue in our worship this morning, Father, we just pray, Lord, that you continue to watch over each and every one of us, Father, that you continue to guide us, to lead us, Father, that you'd forgive us of those areas where we may have sinned and fallen short, Father, if we repent and turn away from those things. We just pray, Father, that all of our acts of worship unto thee this morning would be most pleasing and acceptable unto thee, Father, and that all might be conducted decent and in order, Father. For we ask these in all things, Lord, in the name of thy Son, Christ Jesus. Amen.
Prepare our minds for the taking of the Lord's Supper this morning. And we're pleased to hymn with hymn 339. That's 339. We'll sing all three verses of the hymn. We're going to sing the first three verses, and then we're going to sing the chorus after the third verse again. We're going to sing the first three verses, and then we're going to sing the chorus after the third verse.
Low in the bridge he lay, Jesus my Savior, waiting the coming day, Jesus my
1 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 27 through 34, it speaks of when we partake of the Lord's Supper, that we do so in a worthy manner. And that is that we do not rush into this. When Paul was speaking to the people of the church of Corinth, you know, he noticed that, you know, we have to discern this from being just a common meal. You know, this is the time that we can come together as Christians and share in a partaking of the Lord's Supper. You know, this is a time of reflection, to reflect back on the Jesus' sacrifice, what it meant to each and every one of us to know that even though we were sinners, that we didn't deserve it, that he was willing to suffer, to endure all the humiliation, and to ultimately give his life. And he did no wrong to become that perfect lamb without spot or blemish. And as is the case with us being flawed, being human, we have a tendency, it's so easy for people to be reflecting on something else. You know, so many things that can happen to us during the week or that we have on our minds, and at times we could not have our minds in the right place. And it's why that we take this opportunity to make sure that we preside over the Lord's Supper, to give everyone that opportunity to clear their minds and to be able to reflect, to make sure that when we partake of the Lord's Supper that we don't do so in an unworthy manner. So we have before us, we have the bread, which represents his body, and we have the fruit of the vine, which represents shed blood. So at this time, let us give thanks for the bread. Our most kind and gracious Heavenly Father, we're so thankful unto you, Heavenly Father, for giving us another day, to allowing us to come together on the first day of the week, to be able to come together in fellowship, to be able to come together with our fellow brothers and sisters in Christ, to have this opportunity to gather around the Lord's table, to each and every one of us as Christians to be able to take this time to clear our minds, to reflect back to that day on the cruel cross when thy son became that perfect sacrifice without spot or blemish, to know that he loved this world so much, and that you love this world so much that you would send to us your only begotten son. And we just pray, Heavenly Father, that as we are about to partake of this bread which represents thy son's body, that we'll do so in a manner that will be pleasing in thy sight. For this we ask, for in thy son Jesus' name. Amen.
Let us give thanks for the fruit of the vine. Dear Lord and Father, he who has dominance over the air and the sea, we come to you thanking you for all the blessings that you've given to us. But most of all, Father, we thank you for your Son, the unspotted Lamb, who gave himself freely for us, that we might be able to be free of sin. Father, we thank you that your Son gave himself so freely, and that his blood washes us clean. As we remember him now, Father, we ask that you bring our minds back to that fateful day when he was put upon that cross in such agony. We thank you that his blood flowed so freely that we might be able to partake of this fruit of the vine now in remembrance of him. As we do, Father, we ask that we do it not vainly, but to do it with a worthy mind and a worthy soul, knowing that we are indeed your chosen people. This we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
If anyone has been overlooked during taking the Lord's Supper, if you raise your hand. Seeing no hands, we have another portion of our worship service, which is giving. And just as it is with the Lord's Supper, we are also commanded to have a certain mindset as we prepare to give back, as you can read in 2 Corinthians 9:7, to make sure our hearts and our minds are in the right place, to not just to be focused on the physical aspect of giving, but to make sure that we are focused on where we should be mentally, to make sure that we are giving in the right manner as well. So let us keep that in mind as we prepare to, as we pray for giving. Our most kind and Heavenly Father, we are so thankful unto you, Heavenly Father, for all thy blessings. For we know it was you that allowed us to rise from our beds this morning, that breathed the breath of life into our lungs. We know that everything that we see, all that we touch, Heavenly Father, you have provided for us. All the marvels and the beauty of this world, everything that we have, we know that you have created, Heavenly Father. And this, our ability and our and the will, and all the talents that we have, that we can go out and we can work and that we can provide for those that we love, Heavenly Father, we know that you make that possible. And we just pray, Heavenly Father, that as we prepare to give back a portion of the many blessings that you have blessed us with, that we will do so in a manner that will be pleasing to you and that will honor and glorify thy name. For this we ask for in thy Son Jesus' name. Amen.
you would, please mark your hymn book for hymn number 572. 572 will be the song of invitation this morning. 572. And after marking that hymn, if you would please turn your hymn book to hymn number 963. 963. We will sing all three verses of this hymn. I ask all those with you to stand at the time. 963. Let us sing.
Soon and very soon we are going to see the King. Soon and very soon we are going to see the King. Soon and very soon we are going to see the King. Hallelujah, hallelujah, we're going to see the King. And go more right in there, we are going to see the King. No crying there, we are going to see the King. Now go more crying there, we are going to see the King. Hallelujah, hallelujah, we're going to see the King. And go more crying there, we are going to see the King. No more dying there, we are going to see the King. Now no more dying there, we are going to see the King. Hallelujah, hallelujah, we're going to see the King. Now soon and very soon, we are going to see the King. Soon and very soon, we are going to see the King. Now soon and very soon, we are going to see the King. Hallelujah, hallelujah. We're going to see the King.
The title of the lesson this morning will be "Can You Run with the Horses?" It will be taken from Jeremiah chapter 12. Verses 1 through 5. That's Jeremiah chapter 12, verses 1 through 5. I'll be reading from the King James Version. Righteous art thou, O Lord, when I plead with thee. Yet let me talk with thee of thy judgments. Wherefore doth the way of the wicked prosper? Wherefore are all thy heavy, wherefore are all they happy that deal very treacherously? Thou hast planted them, yea, they have taken root. They grow, yea, they bring forth fruit. Thou art near in their mouth and far from their reins. But thou, O Lord, knowest me. Thou hast sent me and tried mine heart toward thee. Pull them out like sheep from the slaughter and prepare them for the day of slaughter. How long shall the land mourn and the herbs of every field wither for the wickedness of them that dwell therein? The beasts are consumed and the birds because they said, he shall not see of our last end. If thou hast run with the footmen and have wearied thee, then how canst thou contend with horses? And if in the land of peace wherein thou trustest. They weary thee, then how will thou do in the swelling of Jordan? Brother Baldwin.
Good morning, everyone. Good to see everybody, and it's always good to be in the Lord's house. And we are here today to worship God in spirit and in truth. I don't know about you, but I get excited about God, because it was God who woke us up this morning, clothed us in our right mind, touched us with the spirit of love, and sent us on our way. I'm talking about God who sits high and looks low, whose ears are not so heavy he cannot hear our feeble cry, who's been better to us than we've been even to ourselves. No, it's God who gets us from one day to the next. It's God who gets us from one paycheck to the next. So don't give yourself too much credit. It's not because of our intellect, it's because God loves us. And he loves us unconditionally. Amen. Well, this morning, good to see all of our guests, all of our visitors. We are always happy to receive visitors here at Ypsilanti Church of Christ. The lesson today will be coming from the book of Jeremiah, chapter 12. Read into your hearing were verses 1 through 5. As you already know, Jeremiah was called the weeping prophet. Jeremiah was called the weeping prophet because of the fact that he cried over the undone condition of his people, the Israelites. And more specific, Jeremiah had the ungrateful task of preaching to a group of people who did not want to hear what he had to say while he was saying it. And they went further into sin. That was despite what Jeremiah was trying to tell them from the beginning. And so actually, Jeremiah was in a peculiar situation. He was called by God to preach. That was his charge. That was his mission. His mission was to tell Israel that if you do not recommit to God, you would never go back to your home. But if you do, God will be just to forgive you. Now, most of this lesson today, these verses I will be paraphrasing most of them. I will be paraphrasing most of these verses. Now, when we read these chapters leading up to this chapter, we see that Jeremiah's own relatives said to him, they said, look, I have the deed to the family property back home, where currently the Roman soldiers are occupying. He said, if you really believe that God is going to send us back there, then I'm offering you a chance to buy the family property at a rock bottom price. So in other words, he's telling Jeremiah to put your faith where your mouth is. So Jeremiah readily bought the property. He bought the property as a testimony that God was going to actually send them back. You know, as a preacher, I can understand what Jeremiah was going through. You know, when you see that people, what they are experiencing, it's as if some people are saying, we don't want to hear what you have to say. Although my life is coming apart at the seams, I still don't want to hear what you have to say. Well, that was the predicament that Jeremiah was in. The folks said, we don't care what our condition is, and we really don't want to hear you. And then the ultimate hurt of all of it was the fact that Jeremiah was eventually murdered by some of his own people. They didn't want to do anything about their condition. Well, that brings us to what happens here in chapter 12 of the book of Jeremiah. It is stated there in Jeremiah chapter 12 and verse 5, if you run with footmen and they wear you out, what's going to happen when you get put up against horses? Now, the basis of that is this. If you are running with another person and you can't keep up with them, how are you going to run when you get put in a race against a horse? How in the world are you going to even have a hope of keeping up when you get put in a race with a horse? Knowing that a horse can outrun you hands down. Now, that's the bigger picture, but the spiritual implication is this. How in the world can you run with the world when you can't even hold your own inside the house of God? That's the big question, you know? If you can't hold your own inside of the church where people are supposed to care about you and love you, and viciousness is not on the same level as on the outside, if you're having trouble inside the church, how are you going to do out here with all of these the horses out here? How are you going to maintain your thinking? How are you going to do it? See, the folk out here in the world, they'll wear you out. Those are the horses out there. If you can't deal with the footmen in here, is what he's saying, how in the world are you going to contend with horses? And so, that is our subject for today. Can you run with horses? The Bible says in Jeremiah chapter 12, in the verses 1, righteous art thou, O Lord, when I plead with thee. Now, that term righteous means thou can be convicted of no wrong. That's what that Hebrew term means. In other words, what Jeremiah was saying is, Lord, I'm not questioning my faith. Neither do I have a problem with my faith. But, Lord, I have a concern about what I see going on. I have a concern about how you are handling some of your business. And then he says, when I plead with thee, let me talk with thee about thy judgments. Why doth the way of the wicked prosper? Why are the wicked people in the world? Why are they allowed to have everything? Why are the wicked folk so happy? Why do they have so much? Why do they do so much? Why are they blessed to the extent that they are blessed? He says, Lord, I don't understand. And besides that, Lord, it makes preaching about you harder when the Israelites, they look over there and they see the Gentiles with more than they have. It makes it harder for me telling folk that staying with you is right. When they look over there at all the heathen nations, and those heathen nations have more than your folk have. And you're telling me that we belong to you. He says, now, Lord, I'm not questioning what you do. I'm only having a concern about the way you're doing it. Why don't you throw some of those blessings our way? So that when the heathens look over here, they can say, wow, the children of God are really blessed, right? Why are they blessed more than we are? Why are you blessing them, Lord, more than us? Now, you know, sometimes we have that same problem, even in this day and age. It affects our attitude. It affects our giving. It affects our stability. Why are the folk who don't know God, why are they doing better than us? And it affects us internally because we just can't bring this to a conclusion in our own minds. And so he says, Why doth the way of the wicked prosper? Now over in verse number 1 says, why are they so happy that deal so treacherously with you? Now, not only do the wicked people prosper more, he's saying here, than the righteous. He said, but they're happy while they're doing it. You know? So we are your children. And we are walking around here with our heads down, we're tired, moping, and worn out. And the wicked, they've got more than we do. And they're just bouncing around. They're writing all the happy songs. They're flying around on the clouds. Why is that, Lord? Why aren't we the happy ones? And why aren't we exalted? And why aren't we up? Why is it that they're doing wrong and they're happy, and we're doing right, and we're walking around here with frowns and sneers and problems on our faces? It's just not consistent, Lord. Don't you think the ungodly folk ought to be the ones with their face in the dirt and all mad, and scarred and tired? Why are they talking about all the blessings of life when they talk about nothing, when we talk about nothing but hard times? All right, verse 2, it says, then he says, you have planted them. Yes, they have taken root. See, so not only are those who are wrong happy, not only do they have everything, but it appears that you have planted them and they have taken root. Let me give you an example. Those of you who might have planted a garden, have you run into a problem trying to get things to grow, you know, flowers or a little bush or something like that? You water them. Take care of them, you dig up the dirt around them, and they start dying off. Right? You have those weeds out there. You dig them up, they come back. You spray them with Roundup, they come back. You even try to burn them out, they come back. Seems like everything you do, they come back stronger. Right? Everything you try to nurture the flowers and to get them to grow, the more you do, the more they die out. So that's what Jeremiah is saying. It seems like you have planted the wicked folk, and you're bringing them up. And it seems like you're leaving us out there just scrounged on our own, like weeds out in the field. Why is that, Lord? It looks like we are the outcast out there in the yard. Why do you allow that, God? God, don't you realize that it's causing me problems preaching about you to the folk? When the people outside of your family have more than we have, and they're happier than we are. So just in case some of you have ever thought or felt like that, now you know you're not alone, right? Then in verse 2, he says, they grow, they bring forth fruit, thou art near to their mouth and far from their mind. They say things about you, God, but they don't mean them. They don't dwell on you. They don't hope in you. They don't trust in you. They don't do any of that. How many of you have ever been around ungodly folk? I mean, folk that you better keep one eye on them. Been around people like that? Well, and then to a certain extent, they say, well, you know, God has been so good to me. And I'd be thinking, how can you say that? You don't go to church. You don't encourage anything spiritual. And you even said that people don't have to make a commitment to God. So why is that? Then verse 3, but thou, O Lord, knowest me. Thou hast seen me and tried mine heart toward thee. Jeremiah is making a statement here. He's saying that all of us, this is something we all need to understand. There should never be a time in our lives when you have to guess about where you stand with God. You should never come across in such a way, or should never act or involve yourself in a course of action that makes you wonder, do I know God? Jeremiah said, Lord, you know me. In other words, you know the secrets of my heart. You know that I'm not against you. You know that I want to serve you. You know that I love you, and you know the depth of that love. He said, I don't understand. Why do you do what you do? And so he says in verse 3, you've tried my heart toward thee. Pull them out like sheep for the slaughter. He says, and prepare them for the day of slaughter. Now, this is what Jeremiah is saying. Lord, why don't you just get a hold of the ungodly people and set them up for the slaughter? You know, Lord, why don't you just set them up, fatten them up? Then he says, come along and whack them down. Whack them down for the slaughter. So that all of the good people will know you are still God. He said, God, that would make a powerful statement if you would do that. Now, I know because, you know, at one time I may have felt like that until I got my feet on solid ground. But he said, Lord, it sure would make a statement. He goes on to say, why don't you whack them down, Lord? Let the world know that they were set up. They didn't have anything, and you just cut them down in their prime. Then he says in verse 4, how long shall the land mourn and the herbs of the field wither for the wickedness of them that dwell therein? What Jeremiah is saying is, Lord, why don't you just let the wicked ones die? Die for their own sins. And let us go on. Let us go on with what you have given us. He said, why should the righteous have to suffer along with the wicked? Why do the wicked have so much? You know, have you ever experienced that in school? Let's say way back when you were in maybe the fifth grade and the whole class almost acted up on a substitute teacher. And because of that, everybody lost a chance to go on a field trip. You remember that? And you're saying to yourself, why do I have to suffer? Why do I have to suffer for the wrong that they did? Well, it's because you are part of the class. But you said, but I'm not a bad part of the class. Well, we got to suffer because you need to know that we are all in this boat together. Some of us think that we are the Lone Ranger, you know, that we are all here by ourselves. We think that God is going to actually produce everything for me. Why he allows the ungodly person to starve to death? Well, God's not going to do it. Why? Because I am the resource for the ungodly person. As long as I'm here, they're going to be doing all right, and maybe even better. Because there are certain things that they can do that we can't do, at least in this world. Everybody still with me? All right. So he says, why don't you just let them die for their own sins? They sin, whack them down. Don't make the righteous suffer along with them. Don't make us go through these feeding problems and starving. Just let us go on with what you have given us. And then he says, now this is the Lord's answer to Jeremiah in verse 5. If thou hast run with the footmen, and they have wearied you, then how can you contend with horses? He said, Jeremiah, you've got it all wrong. You've got the wrong attitude, Jeremiah. Jeremiah was becoming despondent. He was sinking into depression. He was getting ready to quit his job as a preacher and as a prophet. He was saying, I don't need this. He said, I can just go out here and serve God all by myself. He was ready to throw in the towel, in other words. God told him, now, you're looking at this all wrong. Jeremiah, you're letting it get to you, and you shouldn't let it get to you like this. He says, Jeremiah, if you run with the footmen, in other words, if you run with people like you, and they weary you, how in the world are you going to run against horses? What is meant by this is, if you can't keep your spiritual stability, if you can't keep your spiritual integrity, if you can't keep your hope and your strength up in this environment, inside the Lord's body, what are you going to do? When the Lord opens the gates and the problems of the world, those are the horses out there, when they come into your life, he says, how are you going to handle that? If you can't handle friendly folk inside the church, if you can't deal with folk inside the body of Christ, what are you going to do in a situation when the Lord allows a situation to happen where you can't even get to church and you're not in an environment of godly people? How are you going to handle yourself when you can't stay right in this environment? You know, don't you realize that these small issues like why I need to commit to being a teacher or a personal worker, or why I need to support the eldership or work with the deacon or get involved with teaching? Those are small issues with God. See, we're not talking about some great big earth-changing decisions that you have to make. He's saying, if you can't run with the footmen, in other words, if you can't handle the small, insignificant issues, what's going to happen when the Lord opens up the gate and the world's problems will drop on you? Right? He says, that's what he's saying. If you can't run with these footmen in here and stay happy and stay focused and stay strong and stay spiritual, if you can't run with those footmen in here, how are you going to run with some of Satan's horses? How are you going to run with those folk out there? They already know how they are going to fake you out. Before you even wake up in the morning, they've already got it figured out how they are going to clean you out. Before you even open your eyes in the morning, they've already got your number. So how are you going to handle it? When you can't run with the folk in the church, with godly folk in the church, if you can't run with the folk who are part of God's kingdom, how are you going to run with horses, with folk who will stomp you without even knowing your name? Then he says in the last part of verse 5, then how can you contend with horses? And if in the land of peace, wherein thou trustest, they weary you, then how will you do in the swelling of the Jordan? Now, that land of peace was Israel. What is Israel today? The church. It's the church. If in the church people have wearied you to the point of giving up, Jeremiah, how are you going to act in the floodplains of the Jordan? If you are wearied inside of God's body, oh, I wish you could see this picture. If you're worn out, if you're constantly fighting against elders, if you're mad at this person or mad at that person, and you're trying to stir things up, you know, if you wear it inside the Lord's house, how are you going to handle the footplanes? And the Lord says, the flood is coming. Jeremiah, you think you've seen the worst. Oh, no, Jeremiah. The worst is yet to come. If you can't keep your spirit and your attitude and your sanity in the land of peace running with the footmen, how are you going to have any hope? He says in verse 6, for even your brethren and the house of your father, even they have dealt treacherously with you. They have called a multitude after you. Believe them not, even though they speak fair words to you. He said, Jeremiah, your own family is going to plan to kill you. He said, Jeremiah, you're coming apart. You don't even understand that in a few days, your own family is going to set you up to be murdered. If you can't handle what I'm doing, running with the footmen, what are you going to do when you find out that it is your own brothers that are putting together a conspiracy to kill you? Whoa. So what do we do? Well, put your yoke upon me, he says. Learn of me. So in other words, we just lay it on the Lord. Lord, you handle what you told me not to. I have to think the best of you. But God has to intervene. God has to protect me. So if coming to church has worn you out, if listening to sermons have worn you out, you know, these things have worn you out, what are you going to do when the Lord opens up the floodgates? He says, if you've run with these footmen, in other words, if you run with the people in the church, and the folk in the church have burnt you out, the elders burnt you out, the deacons and preachers burnt you out, members have burnt you out, if you've been burnt out running among us, what's going to happen when you get really mad and you try to get out there and run with those horses? He said, they'll stomp you. Jeremiah, he said, bring yourself down. Cool down. Be calm, cool, and collected. Don't think about quitting. Don't take this too far. And whatever you do, don't think that you're going to get along out there, because when you get out there, you're going to find out that you are not equipped to live like they live. Brothers and sisters, God has given us the truth. Can you run with horses? I can't. I can't. So if running with the footmen have wearied you, and running with God's people, is, if you're running with them and you still can't handle what's going on, you need to stop, get a hold of yourself, come to the Lord in prayer. And don't do some ungodly things. Things that are not consistent with God. How are you going to run with horses? Because we are planted by God. We are Christians. But for those who have been wearied by running with the horses, those horses out there are going to pick you off. And if you think this life has been rough, you just wait until you try to run with Satan's horses. Well, this morning, you've heard his word. I hope you will believe it with all of your heart, repent of your sins, confess Christ to be the Son of God, accept him in baptism. That's how you get into the body of Christ, if you're already a member. But you've strayed away, been unfaithful, done things you know you shouldn't have done. Why don't you come back today? And so, while truth, love and mercy linger, make that choice for Jesus, while together we stand and sing.
Oh, to Jesus I surrender all, to him I
surrender all. Good day, isn't it? Good day, great day. Had one respond, and Nolan Shriver has come forward saying he wants to be baptized. He hasn't been baptized. He's going to be today. He's waited long enough to make sure he gets it right, too. God bless him, his family. I told him we were proud of him. Everyone here, family, spiritual family, everybody here, said he can do a lot of work for us, a lot of things that we need help on, because we got several men that do help some, but they can't help as much as they would like to. God bless them. Let's have a prayer, and then we'll see the baptism of a soul. Bow with me. God, we thank you so much that Nolan has come forward this morning to be baptized and become a member of your church. We thank you for his decision to do that. We know that he's going to be an asset to this congregation in everything that he does. Continue to bless him as he walks the Christian life. Continue with us as we help him do so in a way and manner that's well-pleasing to you. For it's in the name of Jesus we pray. Amen.
Well-pleasing hymn, 853.
853.
When we walk with the Lord in the light of His Word, what a glory He sheds on our way. While we do His good will, He abides with us still, and with all can I not a bird we dare, nor a sorrow we share, but a sweet victory day. Not a grief nor a loss, not a crown of but it's blessed if we trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy than Jesus.
Amen. 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 Am